Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Starting at verse number 1, reading down through the 6th verse, 2 Corinthians the 5th chapter. The Bible says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Amen. Verse number 1 talks about that if we have this earthly house of this tabernacle, but then the Bible talks about that we also have an eternal house made by the hands of God. Amen. On this Saturday night of convention, I'd like to talk to you about trying to make it home. Trying to make it home. Amen. God bless you as you're seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got a long way to drive tonight, but I'm excited to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm going to give everything I've got here in this pulpit tonight. Amen. So how many are going to help me preach the word of the Lord? Amen. Trying to make it home. 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, and verse number 11 says that we as believers are strangers and pilgrims in this life. We are strangers and pilgrims. I believe when every child of God gets up from the altar after conversion, there is something inside of our heart that we look around and realize we are no longer of this world. Amen. When we're converted and while we're giving our heart to the Lord and that transforming salvation experience has taken place, something inside of us is birthed to go to heaven. Something inside of us begins to yearn to go see Jesus. When we get up from the altar, we look around, we realize we are not of this world anymore. Philippians chapter number 3 says that our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. Beloved, tonight we are not of this world. We have been born again. How many realize we are headed home? Amen. And I'm not talking about an address that in Martinsville or Danville or Savannah, Georgia, but I'm talking about I'm going home to see Jesus. When I got up from the altar, there was something in my heart. I wanted to go see Jesus. I got up from the altar and I looked around at this world and I realized I had been changed by the grace of God. And while I was changed by the grace of God, something inside of my heart said, this world is not my home. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm leaving this world. I've got a home in glory. And I, beloved, I stand before you tonight and I'm telling you, I'm trying to make it home. I'm trying to get out of this world. I'm trying to work for Jesus while I'm in this world. But until Jesus comes, there's a cry in my heart. I'm trying to make it home. I'm trying to go see Jesus one day. Amen. I'm not weary and well doing. I'm not ready to give up my race. But I do have something in my heart. Amen. I want to go see Jesus. I am trying to make it home. And I believe that's the theme of what Paul is talking about in this passage of scripture tonight. I believe that is what Paul is conveying to the Corinthian church as he compares this earthly tabernacle with that eternal home that we have in the heavens. So if God will help me tonight as we look at this passage of scripture, there's just a couple of things that I want to focus upon tonight. Paul addresses this fact. He said that we're going to have hardships on our way home. that we're not going to get out of this life without some hardships. I don't read this theology anywhere in the New Testament, but I find it often inside the church, and it is this, that somehow there are those that believe when they got saved that they got an exemption from trials and tribulations in this world. It sounds good, it sells books, and it fills up auditoriums. I just can't find it in the Word of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that we're going to have tribulations in this world. The Bible teaches us that we're going to have afflictions in this world. You believe it? Say amen. Hallelujah. We're going to have afflictions in this world. We are going to have problems in this world. Matter of fact, Paul said it this way. He said that we are groaning in this body. We are burdened down in this body. We're going to have afflictions in this life. But beloved, that doesn't alarm me. That doesn't discourage me. And that doesn't want to make me quit. Amen. That just lets me know I'm getting ready to leave this world. And I'm trying to make it home. I said, I'm trying to make it home. When I look around at some of the things going on in society, I'm not an old man just yet, but I got a problem with some of the way that America is headed, and I'm uncomfortable with some of the direction that America is headed. I come along in a day when a boy looked like a boy and a girl looked like a girl. I come along when they raise boys up to be men that love women, but it's not that way anymore. Amen. I'm uncomfortable in some of the things that are going on in this world. Amen. But I understand, friend, that even though I might be uncomfortable, it reassures me that I'm not of this world. It reassures me that this is not my home. It reassures me that I've got a home in glory someday. Amen. Amen. I'm not alarmed because I'm uncomfortable in this world. Matter of fact, being uncomfortable in this world, it reassures me this world is not my home. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, beloved, tonight, let me encourage you. We are on our way home. I said, we're getting ready to leave this world. I said, we're going home to see Jesus someday. Hallelujah. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, and I grew up at the end of Sesame Street. I really did. My address growing up was 7001 Summerdale Drive in Dayton, Ohio. Hewer Heights, actually. And at the end of my street was Sesame Street. If you didn't stop at the stop sign of Sesame Street and Summerdale, you would come in my bedroom. That's where I grew up. I can go back and I can look at that little house on Summerdale, but friend, it don't look like home anymore. We can go back and look at 8409 Pinto Point, the house we moved in when we first got married, but it don't look like home anymore. Amen. When you move on and you go somewhere else and you get another house and life moves you forward, you go back and you look, it doesn't look like home anymore. Amen. Well, that's kind of the feeling I've got when I look around at this world and some of the hardships that I face. This world doesn't look like home to me. And so Paul said, in this tabernacle, we're groaning. In this tabernacle, we are burdened down. In this tabernacle, we're going to have afflictions. In this tabernacle, in this temporary body, we're going to have some afflictions that come our way. But Paul encouraged the people of God by telling them that one day soon we're going to lay off this tabernacle. This tabernacle is temporary. Matter of fact, he uses the word tabernacle, which is tent. It is that Old Testament word of when they had the tabernacle, that tent, to where they would set it up and they would erect that tent or that memorial to God. But it was only a temporary tabernacle. It was only a temporary tent that when the people of God would move on, they would fold up the tabernacle, they would fold up the tent, and they would move, and then they would erect it again. They use the word tabernacle because the day was coming when Solomon would build his temple that was to be permanent. And so Paul comes along to the Corinthians and says it this way. He said the tabernacle that we're in right now, it is temporary. It is going to be laid off one day because there's an eternal temple. There's a house made by the hands of God. Hey, brother and sister, I'm listening for the sound of a trumpet. Amen. I'm listening for that day when Jesus calls the people of God home, and we're going
going to lay off the mortal. We're going to pick up immortality. We're going to lay off this tent. We're going to lay off this tabernacle. And beloved, we're going to pick up an immortal, incorruptible robe. Amen. That is not subject to death. That is not subject to mortality. And we're going to shout forever in the presence of God. And so I come by tonight on a Saturday night to tell you, I'm just trying to get home. I'm trying to get out of this world. And this world is not my home. I'm not staying here. My treasures are laid up beyond the blue. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't lay down and quit now. But, beloved, we're trying to get out of this world. Hallelujah. And so somebody that comes along and says, you know, I don't understand why we've got trouble. Well, read the Bible. Don't be surprised when trouble comes. Don't be surprised. Peter said it this way. He said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. Concern it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That is to try you. I got a news flash for you. We're going to have hardships on the way home. We're going to have some heartache. We're going to have some sorrow. We're going to have some disappointment. We're going to have some afflictions. We're going to have some things that happen to us in this life. And I really believe that's part of the reason that propels us forward to be excited about heaven. Knowing that this is not my home. This is temporary. I can endure the affliction. Amen. Knowing this is not my home. Amen. I can withstand the pressure. I can withstand the ridicule. I can withstand when they make fun of my faith, when they ridicule me preaching against same-sex marriage, I can stand that. When they ridicule you on the job, when they make fun of you because you don't laugh at the dirty joke, and when they talk about the movies you don't understand what they're talking about, I can take it, brother. I don't feel like quitting. I don't feel like getting discouraged. I don't feel like just throwing in the towel. It makes me want to look up and realize I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting out of this world. This world is not my home. I'm trying to get out of here. But in the meantime, I've got some hardships. I've got some heartache. And I've got some problems. But it's all right, beloved. One day we're going to lay off the old man. Hallelujah. The story is told of an older preacher that his family was burned in a tragic fire in the early 1900s. And as he walked around town trying to find the meaning, trying to find an understanding piece of why that would happen in his life, talking to God, God, why? Well, what's the will of God? What are you doing in my life? What are you trying to teach me? He come upon a great cathedral that was being erected. And as he was looking at the great cathedral, the mason is working at one of the entrances to the cathedral. He begins to talk to the mason. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm working on this stone. He said, I'm chiseling on this stone because this stone down here is going to go up in that portico of that gable, in that opening. This stone down here will be going in that opening up there. And as the preacher walked away, he had his answer from God. He said, because that is exactly what God will do with us during affliction. It is God working on us down here to get us ready to go up there. Amen, brother. That's why we're afflicted. That's why we go through the fire. Fiery furnace. That's why there's lion's dens. Amen. That's why at times we are ridiculed. But instead of coming into the house of God and beat down and discouraged, I choose to come into the house of God and worship Him and magnify God. I said, God's been good. I said, God's been good. He's been all good all the time. He's never done me anything but good. I said, He reached down into the miry pit of sin and He saved me. I said, He washed me in the blood of Jesus. He took the world out of my life. He sanctified me wholly. He baptized me in the power of the Holy Ghost. He has healed me when I've been sick. He's been a cheer. He's comforted me when I've been discouraged. He's been my friend in the middle of the night. He's been my shield. He's been my buckler. He's been my provider. Amen, friend. I'm going to tell you, He is my joy. He is my peace, and he is my song. I'm going to shout on the way home. I'm going to worship on the way home. Hallelujah. Glory. And so somebody will say, well, I don't understand. Why? Why me? Well, let me ask you this question. Instead of saying, why me? Why not you? We are going to have affliction, but it's hardships. It's hardships on the way home. Because the second thing that Paul reminds us about this text is this, that we should have hope inside of our lives on the way home. We ought to have hope. I said we ought to have hope. We can't lose our praise. We can't lose our joy. We can't lose the thrill of what God has done in our lives. I'm trying to get home. And one way I get home is there is hope inside of my heart that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. I understand I'm not forsaken of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. My name is in the book of life. Amen. And Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I've got hope. I said I've got hope. I've got hope in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The other day my wife and I, we were in a bird sanctuary. That don't sound very exciting, but that's what we were in a bird sanctuary. And as we walked into that bird sanctuary, there was one bird that was singing louder than all the rest. It was unmistakable. So my wife asked the bird watcher, the man in charge. You know what they called him? I looked it up. Ornithologist. There's a good word for you. So we asked the ornithologist, what's the deal with the loud guy? What's his deal? He was a snowy-headed robin, is what they called him. And they said he sings to impress his girlfriend. So he was trying to impress his girlfriend. I mean, it was early, but he was singing. They said when they come early in the mornings, he's already singing. He's already singing. He's trying to impress his girlfriend. But a sad thing for him was he didn't realize it, but his girlfriend had died. But he didn't know it. So he was singing. He was singing, Brother Jones, but he had lost something. He didn't even realize it, but he was still singing. He was still singing. Now they were working on trying to get him another girlfriend from another place and relocate another girlfriend for him. I don't have time to preach there that he was a boy bird looking for a girl bird, but that's a whole nother message right there. We've lost that concept. One of my school teachers had a baby recently and she had a little boy. And so I was teasing her. The husband, he works for me as well. They on the birth certificate, they said, the doctor come in and declared that she had a boy. I thought, well, what right does he have to say that? We ought to just put undetermined. Or not yet. We don't know yet. We got to wait till he's 12 and let him figure it out himself. I wonder if some of these kids that turned 12 when they were declared boys, when they were babies, if they get to go back and sue the hospital. Because the doctor said, you're a boy, but at 12, they say, well, I don't know what I am, and I'm going to sue the doctor because he told me I was a boy, and I'm not really a boy. I wonder if they're going to countersue in 10 or 12, 15 years from now. But Dr. Walker, he said he's a boy. I said, well, how can you determine that yet? Because the society says, let him make up his own mind. But that little snowy-headed robin, he kept singing. He kept singing in the midst of loss. He kept singing. He kept worshiping and magnifying his creator in his own way. Amen. I would that we'd be like that. Amen. Even when we lose something, we can come in the house of the Lord. You might have had a bad week, but you can still come in the house of the Lord and sing. You might have been done wrong on the job, but you can still come in the house of the Lord and sing. Amen. Somebody might have lied on you, but you can still come in the house of the Lord and sing. No wonder they said, as long as I've got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. I've been lied on. Amen. I've been mistreated and done wrong, but I've got a song. I've got hope. I said, I've got hope. I'm going to see Jesus. I said, when the trumpet sounds, I'm leaving this world. I'm leaving sorrow. I'm leaving heartache. I said he's been good. I said he's been good all the time. Glory. In the middle of trial, I can worship God. Glory. The other day, someone sent a little, Brother Jeff Woods. I know we're praying for him and his family. And I know a lot of you are praying and even more acquainted with him than I am. I've never met the man. But we've prayed fervently for him and the tragic car accident that claimed one of his children and an unborn child. But somebody sent a clip of him in that hospital waiting area, playing the piano, singing that song through it all. Through it all, through it all. If a man that is facing burying a child with a wife that's fighting for her life, if a man can get into a waiting area and sing a song and play the piano and worship God, when I look at the little stuff I'm going through, I don't have a right to sit there. I don't have a right not to praise God. I don't have a right not to lift my hands. I say thank you, Jesus. I say thank you, Jesus. I said I've got hope. I've got hope, my beloved. I said I've got a song and a praise to give. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The words to that song Edward Mote wrote, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. How many tonight? I said we're built on Jesus. I said we're built on Jesus. I said we're built on Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I can worship. That's why I can praise in the midst of affliction. I've got a solid footing. I feel Jesus underneath me. How many feel the Son of God underneath you tonight? Why don't you lift your hands and love Him and give God praise? Hallelujah. 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 How many have hope? I said, how many have hope? The other night, we were praying just Thursday night, and I was praying for somebody, and I quoted this verse to them. The Bible said we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth that, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then with patience do we wait for it. I don't expect the world to be excited and worship God, but when I come in the house of the Lord, there's something inside of me. I've got hope. I've got hope. I've got hope I'm going to see Jesus. I said, I'm trying to make it home. I'm trying to make it home. And one day soon we're going to lay off this tabernacle, but that's not the end of the story. I said, that's not the end of the story, beloved. I said, we're going to lay off this tabernacle. But when we lay off this tabernacle, that's not the final chapter. Oh, sweet Lamb of God. Amen. That's just the beginning. I said, that's just the beginning. We've got hope. We're going to see Jesus. But we're going home to see Him. Isn't it amazing? People get discouraged in churches and perplexed about stuff in this world. When they get stressed out and nervous and worried, it's all about this world. They get agitated and fearful. I'm going to lose. I'm going to stress. It's stuff about this world. But really, tonight as a child of God, we ought to be looking for that which we see not. This world is going to melt away with the fervent heat. This world is going to melt away under the judgment of God. But we're going to be shouting and rejoicing in the presence of God. There's something more than just this world. That's why in Spain that statue is erected to Christopher Columbus, because they would have that no nay plus ultra. That was the theme of the Spaniards as they would come to the Rock of Gibraltar, as they would sail the Mediterranean, and they would come to the Rock of Gibraltar. They would be those words, nay plus ultra, because they said there is nothing beyond. This is the end of the world. If you go past this point, you'll fall off the world, because the world is flat. And the Spaniard said, there's nothing beyond the Rock of Gibraltar, nay plus ultra. There's nothing beyond, nothing beyond. But Christopher Columbus decided that the world was not flat, but was round, and decided to explore beyond the Rock of Gibraltar to find what lay beyond that Mediterranean horizon. And you know the story, that he discovered this land. But in Spain, when they erected that statue, they began to scratch out the words of the word nay, and all it said was plus ultra, or there is more beyond. There is more beyond. Amen. A lot of folks don't see anything beyond this world. They don't see anything beyond this world. But come with me, child of God. I said, come with me, child of God. Amen. Yonder I see a city where the Lamb is the light. I see a city where there is no suffering. I see a city where there is no sickness, and there is no dying, and there is no death, and there is no separation, and there is no devil. I see a land where there are no funeral homes, and there are no hospitals. I see a land where everybody's healed by the power of God. I see a land where they cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I see a land where Jesus reigns, and there is no night. I see a land where the sun rules in glory and beauty. Woo! Hallelujah! There's more beyond. I see a land where there are no tears. I see a land where we don't have to say goodbye anymore. I see a land where they pick up reeds and worship day and night. Woo! Ah, beloved, there's more. I said, there's more. I said, I have not seen and ear have not heard what God has prepared for His people. Heaven's going to be a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. Hallelujah. The other day I was getting ready to, I wanted to pre-order a book that was coming out, and they were trying to really inflate the sales. And so I got an email about 9 o'clock in the morning and said, if you buy it today, you're going to get the book. But there's more. We're going to give you a bunch of other stuff for free for ordering the book. I thought about it for a little while. By noon or 1, I got another email. It said, if you'll order the book today, there's more. Not only are we going to give you what you had at 9 o'clock, but we decided to throw in a little bit more. By the day was over, there was another email that said, there's more, there's more, there's more. That's the way I feel about serving God. I'm glad to be washed in the blood of Jesus. I'm glad to be separated unto the Lord. I'm glad to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. But there's more. I said, there's more. Thank God for peace and joy. Thank God for praise and worship. But there's more. I said, there's more. When time is no more, and the trumpet sounds, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I said, but there's more. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again, that where I am, there ye may be also. I said, there's more. I said, more. No more cancer. I said, no more cancer. No more sickness. No more dying. Oh, hallelujah. But there's more. I said, Abraham is there. I said, Isaac is there. What about those Old Testament saints? They're there, but there's more. What about those New Testament saints? I said Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I said Peter and Paul. They're there. They're there. But wait, there's more. I got a grandfather. I got a grandfather over there. How many got somebody in heaven you're going to see again? Ah, why don't you stand to your feet, lift your hands, and give God praise. There's more. Oh, thank God, thank God. Oh, beloved child of God. I said we're almost home. I said we're almost home. Why don't you turn and tell your neighbor we're almost home? Amen, we're almost home. Hey, we're almost home. We're almost home. Oh, you're not telling them like you mean it. Come on, tell them we're almost home. We're almost home. We're almost home. We're almost home. Give up now. We're almost home. Quit now. We're almost home. I said, I'm almost home. I'm almost home. I'm going to keep shouting. I'm going to keep dancing. Glory, 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 glory. One more river to cross. One more mountain to climb. Well, I don't feel like serving God. Give up now. Get discouraged and quit now. Backslide now. Get cold and lukewarm now. I'm almost home. You say, I don't see it. Well, that little boy had that kite. You all read that Talmud. Tell that story. Son, how do you know that kite? String isn't broken and that kite's long gone. Well, sir, no disrespect, but I know the kite's still up there. I can't see it, but I know it's up there. How do you know, son? Because I still feel it pulling on the other end. Devil's trying to make you quit. Devil's trying to make you feel like we don't have anything to be excited about. But I feel heaven pulling on the other end right now. I said, I feel heaven pulling on the other end right now. I wish somebody shout in the face of your affliction. I wish somebody shout right now and say, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Greater is he that is in me. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus. I feel the power of an almighty God. Woo! Hallelujah. Sister Peach, why don't you come back up? Why don't we sing a little bit more? I'm going to run on. I'm going to keep running on. I'm going to keep running on. I'm going to keep running on. Why am I running? I'm almost home. Glory. Glory. I'm going to lay off this old man. I'm going to lay it off. But it's temporary. But Paul said, when we lay off that one, we're not going to be without a robe in heaven, because God's already got something prepared for us. Woo! Glory! You think you enjoy serving God now? Wait till you get to heaven. I said, oh! Wait till you get to heaven. Wait till you see Jesus. Oh, somebody worship God. Come on. Somebody magnify the name of our God. Glory. Glory. Oh, we might as well have church. We might as well have church on a Saturday night. Anybody ready to go home? Anybody excited to go see Jesus? Anybody trying to make it home? Glory. Hallelujah. Somebody in here, the devil's trying to get you to give up. The devil's trying to make you quit. When they start singing, we're going to flood this altar. Why don't we just lift our hands, and before you leave this building, you leave saying, I'm not giving up now. I'm going to make it home. I'm going to make it home. I'm going all the way with Jesus. Amen. Come on, child of God. Come on, church. I said, come on right now, everybody that would. Come on, let's gather into this altar. Let's worship God. Let's magnify God. Come on, let's love Him. Come on, let's love Him. Let's run away.